Welcome, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Two different winemakers are featured in this hour. The first is Michael Barche, who is literally one of the senior winemakers, certainly in the Okanagan, and someone just starting his career, Rowan Stewart at Quail's Gate. He's working on new projects there. They both have a reason to be celebrated and featured on Tasting Room Radio. Michael Barche is just a great straight-talking, no BS kind of guy. I like that about him a lot. One of his philosophies is, don't try to copy Napa or Bordeaux or Burgundy. Make Okanagan wine. These places make beautiful wines, but they're different from what the Okanagan gives, and they don't have the privilege of working with Okanagan grapes. There you go. Even though he says that, Boutonneau in France, one of the biggest winemakers in the world, came to him and said, we'd like to make some wines with you. And we'll talk about that project in the second half of Michael Barche's interview. He has many wines to talk about. If you go to the website, tastingroomradio.com at mulligans2.ca, you can see all the wines that Michael wants you to know about. So that's the first interview. The second interview is with Rowan Stewart. The Stewart family, of course, are the people who founded and are the owners and visionaries at Quail's Gate, Okanagan Valley. Rowan grew up in that winemaking family, started his career working at Quail's Gate Vineyards in 2004, and then decided to pursue further studies and maybe even was encouraged by his family to go and study at the Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology in New Zealand. After 5 years in Marlborough, it went to Napa and Sonoma, went to the Niagara Peninsula, and finally returned to his family business, and he's doing new projects. He is the future of Quail's Gate. So, Michael Barche, Rowan Stewart, featured on this edition of Tasting Room Radio. Cheers. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Okanagan Wine Festivals. If you go to their website, there is a page full of festivals on Dolcetto and Bastille and Bench Dinner Tasting, the Faro in the Vineyard, the Kelowna Polo Classic, the Festival of Albarino, and then mark your calendars for Silver Star Wine Festival, Rock the Lake Music Festival, and the Ambleside Music Festival. All the details can be found at thewinefestivals.com. His name is Sir Michael Barche, but we only know him as Michael Barche. He is the general manager and the singular winemaker at Barche Brothers in the South Okanagan. Michael, welcome. Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I went back in the archives. I think we started talking in 2008, 2009 or something like that. Ridiculous. It's wonderful to see you.
Thank you. I get the better end of the deal. I get to see you. So very nice to see you.
And what room are you in?
I am in our red wine cellar, our red wine fermentation room.
Excellent. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
You know, you sent me I said, so what can we talk about? It was a two-page list. I spent a couple of hours just going over and making notes, and I'm ready to go. We're not going to fool around here, friends. I'm telling you now, if for any reason you miss making notes or we say something that you want to check out, this show will be up for a week, and then it will go into the archives. You can just scroll the archives. You'll be right at the top of the page. His name is Michael Barche. If the time remains, we're going to talk about Project B with Boutonneau. But first, this year? No, let's talk about last year. It did serious damage to crops and produce and production. How did it affect you?
I can relive every minute of this. It was the evening of December 21st. I was driving back to driving home from a ski trip up near Revelstoke. And I'm driving through, the Okanagan, the North Okanagan, coming into the Central Okanagan. I'm looking at the temperature in my vehicle. I'm thinking, holy smokes, this is cold. And this is too cold. And, I went straight to the winery. And at that point, it was minus 20.
Yeah.
Which is worrisome. And minus 20 is the point at which we turn on the wind turbines, which, help us to mix up air, mix up a warm air injection to get the temperature at the vine level warmer. You can pick up 5 or 6 degrees up to that sometimes. Anyways, I couldn't turn on the wind turbines because it was too windy. And which is fine, because if it's windy, it's already being mixed up anyways. And it just kept on getting colder, Terry. And at minus 24 at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And again, all we could do is stand there and watch. And at about 7 a.m., 6:30 to 7 a.m., I was able to turn on the wind machines because the wind calmed down. And it went all the way from minus 24 to minus 24. There was no inversion to mix up. And it was minus 24 until about 11 o'clock that morning. And it did so much damage to our vineyards and to the vineyards, in the Okanagan and the Similkameen Valleys. It really threw the entire industry for a loop.
I remember those magic numbers when I was living on the Naramata Bench. And I heard it was a minus 17 or 18 or 19. Just if it gets to those numbers, we have serious problems. If it goes into the 20s, we've got problems. Did some vineyards survive?
Absolutely, including some of our vines. It really depended on a couple of factors. The main one is going to be, of course, your location. The next factor is going to be the grape variety. And then the age of the vines. And strangely enough, actually, the younger vines seemed to fare better than the older vines, which made no sense to me at all, but they did. And, December, so that event was early in the morning of December 22nd. And by December 30th, I was surrounded by thousands of bud dissections around me in the laboratory. And I could see how bad it was. But in the end, we actually fared a little bit better than I expected that we would. We'll have almost a full Chardonnay crop.
Wow.
We will have a Sauvignon crop, which I'm happy about.
What didn't do well?
But what really...
What didn't do
red,
well?
Red grape.
Okay.
Syrah was absolutely murdered. And then, actually, and the same with Merlot. And the Cabernet Franc, some of it, a good chunk of it survived. We just won't get a crop off it this year. But at least the vines are alive.
Okay. Is there some sort of distinct irony that was winter solstice that day, December 21st? Because we've just passed the summer solstice.
Yeah, you're right. It's exactly 6 months ago. You're absolutely correct.
Wow.
So this is, this is what we dealt with. And really, I mean, that's farming. This is what we signed up for. And I'm telling everybody right now that I do have a bit of a smile on my face, and I am beyond grieving now for my lost vines. And I'm actually starting to get excited for the new vineyard that we're going to plant, because it wasn't perfect. It was pretty good, but you can always do better. And now I'm thinking about what we're going to have next.
What did you plant? You had a chance to plant? What did you plant?
It takes a year to get vines, ready, get them on order, get them propagated and so forth. But I was able to replant a bunch of Cabernet Franc where we did have Syrah. So I'm excited about that.
Okay.
And then I'm putting some more Merlot back in, but in a different site that'll be a little bit more appropriate for Merlot. And a whole bunch more Chardonnay, because the Chardonnay did so well.
Way to go. Given the cycle, if this happens again, you see those numbers go down, can you hot pot? Can you put out any sort of heat?
Yeah, that's a good question. Over the last few years, we've heard about these, one in a thousand year events. And but we hear them, they're every year. And we probably won't have this happen next year or the following year. But what if we do? So what I'm worried about, of course, is this happening again. And we've just put in all this effort and time and money into replanting a vineyard that might die on us again. So we have to change the way that we're farming. And what we're doing is we're putting some effort. Well, we're going to basically insulate the vines from the cold. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to take the cane after harvest. We're going to lay it down on the ground, and we're going to staple it to the ground. And then we're going to drive along with a couple of big heavy duty discs behind the tractor and mound up the soil. It'll be a good insulation against the cold. That's the good news. The bad news is that's expensive. That's a lot of labor.
Michael Barche. He is the general manager and the winemaker at Barche Brothers. You're making Piquette.
Piquette, it's peasant's drink. It's this is what the vineyard workers, what the cellar staff would drink. It's a second pressing of the pomace, the grape pomace that would otherwise, just go into the white wine. What we do is we empty out the press. When we have time, we repress the pomace. A lot of the sugar is depleted, and we make a light, refreshing, and we carbonate this little wine. So it's low alcohol, 4.2%.
It's found product.
It's absolutely delicious. I'm not sure if we want to market it this way, but I've been telling people this is beer for wine drinkers and it's wine for beer drinkers. It's a fantastic bridge.
Well done on the PK start. Well done. Do you like it? Do you like the people's reaction to it?
Yeah, we've had a great reaction. And I'm not kidding you. And I knew we would. It tastes good. It's refreshing.
And I drink it. And it's in a can. You can throw it in a picnic basket.
It's in a can and precisely.
Sparkling, the brute, the lovely brute, dry, vibrant, elegant, smashing.
Yeah, it sells well. We'll run out, and that always makes me smile.
The prices that I see in front of me for the brute, $34.99 and $31.49. The one that we want to really give people is the $34.99. That's on the shelf.
No, we want them to know about the lesser price one, because if they join the wine club at Bartier Bros, that's bartierbros.com.
Yep.
Tell them Mike sent you. If you join the wine club, you get a discounted price and your shipping included. It's a bargain.
Michael Bartier. He is the general manager and the winemaker at Bartier Brothers. Let's talk about the Bartier Brothers whites just for a second. The Chardonnay 2022. There's peaches in there. 4 months in stainless steel.
So. Yeah, it's a lovely fresh wine. I don't like to use barrels with my white wines. I don't like the flavor of oak. So whenever we have the opportunity, we avoid using barrels. All of our reds get aged in barrels, but that's about a texture thing. That's about a mouthfeel thing. They're all neutral.
There was a time when we were both slightly younger, where you were the Chardonnay guy in the Okanagan. Did you still not like oak then, or what?
No, I didn't. I've never liked it. And but you sort of have, the first job of a business is to be in business. And if people are asking for a certain style, you got it, right?
And then as soon as you could, you went in the opposite direction.
Yeah, and thankfully, people are along with me. We get such a good response. People are saying, oh, thank God. This is so clean. It's so crisp.
Are the lime and peach notes always in there?
Well, nice observation. So lime and peach, if I was to pull two words out of the air that would describe the varietal character of Chardonnay, it's lime and peach.
Yeah.
And so that's just simply a varietal character of Chardonnay, which a lot of people don't know because it's buried under, these cascading gobs of new oak and, it gets hidden.
Hey, Michael, how's it going to sell this Chardonnay?
I'll let you know in 20 years.
Wow. What's the oldest Chardonnay that you've made, that you've tasted, and what happened in the bottle?
Well, and this isn't exclusive to us. I mean, the Okanagan white wines, they age very well.
Yeah.
And this is because of the chemistry. This is because of acidity and
minerality.
High acidity and lower pH, the strength of the hydrogen ion. But they do very well, and they have this fresh fruit. And it's useless to try to age a wine if it doesn't have this beautiful fresh fruit character. And so anyways, to cut it short, they age very well. They're going to remain fresh. And I mean, it wasn't Chardonnay, but I had a 2002 Semillon that I made. It was actually the first crop off this vineyard that we own. And it was delicious. It was fresh as a daisy, Terry. It was absolutely rainwater fresh.
You can't beat that. The price point on that Chardonnay, Mr. General Manager, do you know it?
I think it's in the neighborhood of $25.
$24.99. Yes, exactly. Sorry. But if you're in the wine club, it's at $22.49, my friends.
There you go.
Wait until I tell you about the events that are coming up, including the Wiener or something. The Semillon 2022, which is the first thing that attracted me to your winery, besides you, is I wanted to see what you were doing with your Semillon. I love Semillon. Love great Semillon. This is complex. This is and certainly if I could have the discipline, I would cellar it, but I don't. My discipline lasts about 17 minutes. It was the same peach, but some stone in there. and melon. It's just, I just love it. And I would love to know what it tastes like a couple of years down the road.
Well, let's revisit this in a couple of years. I'll hold the bottle for the two of us.
Because I don't have the discipline to do it. I can't walk by a bottle like that. How much Semillon do you make?
Well, this year not much because of that winter damage, but there'll be a bit. Typically, we'll get up to 500 cases of Semillon, okay, which is fantastic.
Take care of those vines, please. I know we're moving along here, friends, but you wouldn't believe part two of this. This is going to be ridiculous. The Riesling Gruner Veltliner. You did it because of situations. You can explain.
Well, the Riesling Gruner Veltliner, this came from two different vineyards. The Riesling from Okanagan Falls, from a friend's vineyard. And then the Gruner Veltliner from Vernon, which is again from a different friend's vineyard. And they were intended to go into different wines, but the Gruner Veltliner was a little bit short in the middle. And the Riesling had that, had that little bit to add to the middle. And, we tried them together. I blended them together in the laboratory and thought, this is, why wouldn't we blend these together? It's perfect.
I know what I pair with a Riesling. I'm not so certain of what I pair with a Gruner Veltliner, but so what would you pair? What naturally would go with this wine?
Well, actually, it's funny you mention that. You know what I've got thawing on my counter right now to go with this? This beautiful slab of halibut, which I caught out near Bamfield last summer. And anyways, making fish tacos this evening, and whatever's left on the with the halibut, I'm going to make some ceviche.
I'm going to have salmon tonight.
That'll work. I guarantee it.
But also, I want to pour. I want to showcase a Marsan Roussanne.
Oh yeah,
that'll work.
Yeah, okay. I approve.
Yeah. I love salmon season. I wish I were out fishing with you. All right, so those are the whites. Let's break here, Michael. Michael Barchi, by the way, Barchi Brothers. When we come back, it'll be the two rosés. I'm going to ask you about Orchard Row. I love Orchard Row. The Merlot, the Cab Franc, the highlight of my tasting, the Grenache Syrah, the Syrah, and maybe even the Gold if we get there. We'll talk about Project B, and we'll also talk about your special things that are going on, the Wiener and Wine, the Burger and Blues, and the Bubbles and Brunch right after this. This is Tasting Room Radio. He is Michael Barchi, and he is a godsend to anybody who loves wine. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Winery in West Kelowna, with some of the oldest vineyards in British Columbia, dating back as far as 1968. Mount Boucherie offers a portfolio of estate-grown, handcrafted wines that pair perfectly with everyday life. You can find details on Modest Butcher, Kitchen and Market, how to shop wine online, tasting room hours and tours, and the luxury accommodation. All the details at mountboucherie.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. Relax and enjoy live outdoor entertainment on the Tasting Room Terrace, Sundays from 2 to 4 in July. It's the ultimate way to savor a summer Sunday and a glass of Unsworth. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Welcome back, Tasting Room Radio. Terry David Mulligan. Details at tastingroomradio.com. Michael Barchi, a friend and my guest. We haven't spent a lot of time together, but we talked a lot over the years about his wines and wine in general. And I got into medication from Mr. Barchi because every time I went back and listened to it, I got to edit his interviews, and I taught myself along the way to make notes. And I have a notebook full of stuff that he's schooled me on. So for that, I thank you, sir. Thank you. And of course, the whole idea behind Tasting Room Radio was I have to teach myself about wine with these interviews. So along the way, if you join me in this journey, you'll get to learn as well. Whatever you want to listen to, you'll pick up on stuff and you'll go looking for that wine. Barchi Brothers, friends. Your rosé, you have two rosés.
Yes.
The first one is a different blend entirely. It is a blend too. Tell me about that rosé of yours.
Yeah, this is rosé. It's a blend of both red grapes and white grapes. And the traditional, the purists may get their knickers in a twist a little bit about that, to which I respond, how does it taste? And
And how's the color?
how, does it, what does it look? How does the mouth feel? I love this wine. I drink a lot of this wine at home. You can tell a lot about a person by looking in their recycle bin. And if you look in my recycle bin, you'll think, holy smokes, this guy drinks a lot of his rosé. And
I know there's a Gewurztraminer in there. What's the other white?
There's a fair bit of Chardonnay in that as well.
Okay. I
Yeah,
thought maybe
there's.
it was a Viognier for a time, and then I thought I stopped trying to worry about it and just enjoyed it. And then the splash of color in there at
There's actually,
2%.
yeah, Pinot Noir and Syrah.
Just for, I mean, yes, it's color. What, how do they affect the taste? How do they balance themselves out?
Well, they certainly bring their varietal character to it, to some degree. But they also bring some tannin, just that little kiss of tannin, which is so incredibly important to, tannin is just that drying sensation that you get, that little bit of astringency that you get in your tongue and the insides of your cheeks when you have wine in your mouth. And it's not an astringent wine, it's not a tannic wine, but there's just that touch of it, which when you have it with, that the aforementioned halibut or the salmon.
All right.
Or, some chorizo. It makes it magic.
And how long did you think about the color? Did you know exactly what the color would be?
The color just sort
Well,
of
have you
runs away.
stood in the store and listened to people talk about the color of rosé? They're going crazy. Oh, no, that's too dark. That's too light. Oh, that's right there, right there.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. The color comes downstream from what it tastes like. You don't taste color.
I asked a group people, I said, do you care what's in the bottle? Do you care what it tastes like? No, we just like that. I love that color. They're like, okay, fine.
There you go.
That rosé, by the way, will it be the same blend the next year or will it change every year?
It will change. It's
Thank you.
we go through blending trials. We want to make the best wine.
It is $18.99, friends. If you're in the
That's
club, $17.09. There you go. If you add up those savings, you're going to save some money. The Pinot Noir Rosé, which you specifically say Pinot Noir Rosé 2022, a crisp, even crisper if that's possible.
absolutely.
A nice tannin, beautiful mouthfeel, and great long finish. Did you have fun with this one?
Yeah, I'll you're the only one who's going to know about this. You and you and how many thousands of people now. What it is we were actually farming that block for red wine because we have started making red wine, Pinot Noir, table wine. And it was struggling last vintage. It was a long vintage. It was a late vintage, and it just kept on going. And I was worried about those grapes getting ripe. And I said, let's pull the plug, let's make rosé. So we harvested it and made rosé rather than a red Pinot Noir. And
Which leads me to the Pinot Noir 2021, he said, moving forward rapidly, because you also want to make your Pinot Noir and you want it to be really good.
yes. Did
There's
you try
no
it?
lollygagging with your Pinot Noir. You want this to be outstanding, a flagship of sorts. How much Pinot Noir did you make?
Not a lot, about 180 cases, I think.
Damn,
Yeah.
$39.99, $35.99 if you're a pal of the wine club. I love Orchard Row. I've told you this. I love Orchard Row because it's a field blend. It's
Yeah.
all of the cuttings that you didn't have room for, and you put them all in one row. Do you harvest them the same time?
They all get harvested at the same time.
Nice. And what's in that row that you can
Everything.
identify?
It's whatever was planted in this vineyard, extra vines from each of the blocks, plus neighbors' vineyards, when they ran out of room to plant their vines.
So we know there's Pinot Noir. We know there's Cab
Sometimes
Franc.
Pinot Noir, there's Cabernet Franc, there's Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot. There's actually Chardonnay and Semillon
Wow.
in there, believe it or not, as well.
And how long does it take to show itself? If it comes up short somewhere, would you add a little juice to it just to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We'll add another wine, but
There. Find this wine. A plum and berries and tannins, 16 months in neutral French oak. It's a field blend. It's called Orchard Row. Get it. How many cases? Do we know?
Like
Nothing?
200 or something like
Oh,
that.
great.
It changes from year to year.
$39.99 for the club, $35.99. Merlot, you are a Merlot house.
Yeah, we were a Merlot house until it all died this last
Yeah.
winter. Yeah, I love Merlot. I love Merlot. If there's
It
one grape
shows,
variety,
Michael. It shows in the wine.
I love it. And we will, as I said, we will replant that Merlot where there is going to be a shortage of Merlot for the next few years. We won't have Merlot back in any quantity, at least for
I
another
can't
12
believe
to
the
4.
some I can't believe an Okanagan winemaker said there's going to be a shortage of Merlot. There's always been lakes of Merlot,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
not this time around. Okay. How much did you get? How many cases?
Oh, of that Merlot of the 2021, there would be, oh, I would guess somewhere around 800 or something like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, a reasonable production.
I would urge you to go and seek the Bartier Brothers Merlot 2021. I think the word you used was elegant, but it is complex. There's a lot going on, a lot going on in there. It will speak to your tongue, your nose, your brain. Being the son of a game warden, I know the smell of a 30-30 blasted into the air. No, a shotgun blasted into the air. And the minerality that hangs in the air, that
I
smell,
know exactly where you're going with this. Yeah.
it just took me back to
Yeah.
hunting with my dad.
You know what it takes me back to? When I was a young man, I used to rock climb like every waking minute. And it reminds me of trying to hide my entire body under my helmet between the snow patch and Bugaboo Spire
Okay.
mountains while a whole bunch of rockfall is coming down. And it's that cordite smell all around you in the air
That's
in the
the
middle of
one.
the night.
That's the one. Merlot 2021, 15 months in neutral oak. Find it. And then keep your hands off my Cab Franc because I love the Cab Franc. I'm a huge fan of Cab Franc. And that's the place he's got the soil. He has the skill to grow it. 2021, 14 months in neutral French oak, bold, complex tannins. It's the tannins that kill me every time. Love it, love it, love it. You are a Cab Franc.
I love it. Yeah, it's a very good grape variety for this region.
I love that Cab Franc. $29.99, $26.99 if you're in the club. Now, here's the one that blew my mind. The Grenache Syrah blew my mind because I had the same thought that you made over the years Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre. Did your Mourvèdre take the hit?
It took the hit. And quite frankly, so did the Grenache. And I was lucky that your old friend and my old friend, my old employer, Mick Luckhurst, was growing some Grenache. And he's my new Grenache grower. And so I'm blending his Grenache with our Syrah. And of course, there's no Mourvèdre to be found anywhere on the in British Columbia.
Jeez.
Having said that, it's okay. I'm pretty happy. Did you taste the Grenache
I
Syrah?
literally based a meal around it. I loved it so much. I said to me, we have to match this. And I think it was we did a pork shoulder or something on the barbecue. It was fantastic. I mean, you think
Sensible.
about ribs. Oh my God. Think about the barbecue, frankly. Grenache Syrah 2021. How many cases?
250, I think.
Will you do it again?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
This coming vintage may be a challenge, but it'll happen again.
The Syrah 2021, perfect. The Syrah, it's $29.99.
You know what I love about the Syrah in the Okanagan Valley is it is so floral. It is so delicate. It is so feminine. And that's a you know ours is an example of that, just like our neighbors and just like vineyards up and down the valley,
Okay.
we make such peppery, spicy, floral Syrahs, and they're so delicious.
The last 2 minutes are going to be about Syrah, so hold that thought for just a second. Thank you. By the way, the Syrah, $29.99. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. Details at tastingroomradio.com. Michael Barche, a friend and my guest. Let me ask you about the Project B with Putineau, the negotiants who make and create 1,600 wines and 44 million bottles a year. Why did they come to you? What were they seeking?
I'm asking myself that same question. You know what? They recognized the importance of the Okanagan Valley, that this is a credible and good wine grape growing region, and they wanted to start making wine out of the Okanagan Valley. And I had been introduced to a couple of their principals, Megan Cole, as well as Eric Monin, who is their winemaker in France, fantastic guy. and we seemed to, you know, hit it off well.
And, and the first thing you released, I think, was a Sauv Blanc?
Yeah, we make for them a Sauvignon Blanc and a Rosé. And the wines are delicious. And it's really an interesting process because I get to talk to Eric about it over Zoom meetings like this. And we have, you know, I think we both learn.
Can we go into a store and find it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in some private retailers. Unfortunately, I don't have that list off the top of my hand, but I would suggest that, you know, anybody that hears this should, you know, walk into their local private wine store, slam their fist on the counter and demand to know if this is a classy place or not.
Project B. So there's a Sauvignon Blanc. Is there a Rosé? There's a Rosé. Is there a Red?
Not yet.
Okay, fine. Coming. Yet. Now, let me do this for just a second because I'm running out of time here. Wieners and Wine Wednesdays. You know how to party. June the 28th through August the 30th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. or until it's sold out. Wieners and Wine Wednesday. So the wieners are big-ass wieners with lots of stuff on them, right?
These are sausages. This is a fantastic food truck is what it is. The guy, Campbell, is unbelievable with his grill.
And what wines do you want to pour with those wieners?
Let's shorten the list by describing which wines we don't want to pour. Everything. They go great, you know.
Okay.
It's sausage. You know, white wine, red wine, spicy wine.
June the 28th Sparkle. To August the 30th. So it's on now. Burgers and Blues, July the 15th, 6 to 8 p.m. A beautiful end of the day concert with Rick Papa Dog Hall Chef.
The blues. I know that this is going to appeal to you. You're a blues fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I just say, turn it up. Turn it up. That's all.
You know what I love about this is the informality of it. There's so much pretense in the wine industry, and we're doing burgers. Burgers with a blues artist. I love it.
And
this
is
us.
And do you know what wine goes with the blues?
Merlot.
Merlot.
Merlot goes
Thank
with
you.
The blues.
Absolutely. And Bubbles and Brunch, August the 19th. From 11 in the morning to 1 p.m. in the afternoon, that's your brunch hours, for $60, $55 for the club. You're going to pour Brut maybe, Piquette, Chardonnay, Rosé, something like that?
All the above, yeah. But it'll, yeah, the Piquette and the Brut are going to be
wonderful.
Front and center.
Let me go back with my last 2 minutes. I was honored to be one of the judges for the Lieutenant Governor Awards. This year. And at the end of it, we had a conversation and said, what surprised you? What surprised us was that the Syrah that won and the Syrahs that we liked were all north of McIntyre Bluff.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Exactly interesting. I'm kind of thinking, yeah. What's your reaction to that? Because you are living in Syrah country. So what's going on? Do you think it's us or climate or what?
Syrah is an incredibly versatile grape variety.
Yeah.
And it shows, you know, it pokes its head out of the ground, looks around and says, well, this is what I'm going to be here.
Okay.
You know, and I'm thinking of, you know, the Nickel Syrah, you know, up in that little rock amphitheater with that's a special site for Syrah.
The winner was Lake Breeze. And they won Wine of the Year, so, and it was their Syrah. So we're gonna continue this discussion about North and South Syrah, if it's okay with you. It deserves about 10 minutes of conversation, if that's all right. Thank you, Michael Barchier. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. Have a great year.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you. Always good to talk to you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. Relax and enjoy live outdoor entertainment on the Tasting Room Terrace, Sundays from 2 to 4 in July. It's the ultimate way to savor a summer Sunday and a glass of Unsworth. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, one of the originals. They are thrilled to announce that their 2016 Mosaic recently received an outstanding 95 points from the one and only John Schreiner, Dean of Canadian Wine Writers. Mosaic, made with 5 of the 6 varieties allowed in the Bordeaux region of France, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. You can find all the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. And I am the guest of Rowan Stewart, who is the assistant winemaker. Or have they now made you something else, Rowan?
Yeah, now winemaker. We're calling it winemaker new developments, but basically working on some of our new projects.
So before we get to the Chardonnay, which is what we're going to be talking about, did I see your name associated with whiskey?
Yeah. So Quail's Gate did a whiskey partnership recently with Green Spot Whiskey. Yep. That was one of them. That's mostly complete now. There's a little bit of whiskey out there to taste still, and we're not sure we're going to bottle it. But yeah, we did a pretty successful partnership, we think. The whiskey tastes awesome. It's actually doing a release in June in BC. So
when you trained yourself to be a winemaker, your college of knowledge was in Nelson, New Zealand, South Island.
Yeah.
Where did you get your Scotch training other than high school?
High school, but mostly, you know, self-taught. If I didn't work in wine, I would probably work in distilling. At my previous working in Ontario with Trius, we did a partnership with Glenfiddich at the time.
Okay.
So I'd worked on another whiskey wine partnership before. And so it kind of was natural here.
How old are you now?
31.
Can you imagine other 31-year-old guys, people just like you, who can actually say when they're drinking, it's research?
Yes.
I'm doing research. Can you talk about any of the other projects you're working on, Mr. Project Director?
And we're also doing a sparkling wine that we've been working on for the last couple of years. So that'll be coming out pretty soon, which is exciting.
Time. Yeah. What is a Distinction Collection?
So the Distinction Series was a group of wines. Some of them we'd been making for a little bit. Others we made specifically when we launched it.
Yeah.
And the impetus was our winemaking team and our marketing team wanted to create, we wanted to do two separate things at first, but we realized they would actually line up really well.
Sure.
Winemaking, we wanted to, you know, make smaller SKUs of things that weren't necessarily, you know, super commercially viable always. We wanted to try new things.
You wanted to push the envelope a little.
Yeah. You know, if you want to take a Chardonnay in a different direction, it's a big deal to take a large Chardonnay wine SKU, you know, in a totally different direction. People have a flavor that they enjoy. There's a style that they like.
And winemakers have invested their lives in that Chardonnay.
Yes. Yeah. And it's been made for 20 years. So it's a style that we also like. We don't want to move away from it, but we want to try something else. And so that's kind of where Distinction came from, testing out different things. So right now we've got Q, which is a red blend that we wanted to play around with. We've got our Dijon.
What's the name of that red blend again?
It's Q.
Okay, thank you.
It's a Syrah, Merlot, Cab Sauv, and it's kind of an expression of the best reds coming from our estate, which is pretty nice. I think it's a little unique because we use Syrah in it, so it's not a traditional Bordeaux blend. Okay. But
I mean, the one thing that you want from wineries like Quail's Gate, and I say that because we hold you to high standards. You have actually told us over the years, hold us to high standards.
Mm-hmm.
And we have bought into that big time. We hold you to high standards. But however, I'm talking for the consumer. Consistency. You want to know when you're in a hurry, especially, and you want to give something, or you want to taste something, you want to make a splash, you can reach for Quail's Gate and not be disappointed.
Yeah, so that's definitely something we're very proud
so
of.
So now, Rowan, you coming along and saying, let's play with that a bit. So it's a fine line that you walk.
Yes, so that's part of what the Distinction tier is it's this group of wines that are a little bit more innovative, a little bit more directional, smaller SKU numbers. It's also something that we can do. Marketing's push was they wanted some wines that could excite our wine club. And so a lot of our Distinction wines go kind of directly to the wine club first. And, you know, we make them in a volume that's not crazy. So we can spend a lot of time on them, do some really interesting stuff. Our Dijon Clone Pinot, for example, is most years it's made out of 828, which is a clone that we brought in first in North America. Pretty excited about it. And then this year, we took it in a different direction and went just a separate clone. And so different style, different vineyard site, different expression of Pinot Noir to what we normally do.
Okay.
So
Rowan Stewart, the winemaker for the new development series at Quail's Gate. So how does all of that play, Rowan, into the Chardonnays we're going to taste?
Basically, in our winemaking, you know, we work as a winemaking team. So there's three of us. We all taste together, blend together, try and make decisions. We kind of have strengths and weaknesses that we help fill. And I think it's a real team effort in our winery. So these wines, obviously not the 13 and the 15, but the 21 and the 20, I was here working on them with the team. And so we're all pretty aware of what we did and why we did it and what the year was like. So
were these the Jeff Del Nin years?
So 21 is Jeff Del Nin. 2020 is Ross Baker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we know who 2013 was?
Yeah, Nikki Calloway, and 15 was Nikki Calloway.
Wonderful.
As well.
What is the correct pour order? Because we have two new wines and two older wines of that same label and that same lineage. I have always felt, somebody must have taught me this along the way, new one first, the older reflection of it secondly. Tell me what, if you flip that, if you do the old one first into the new, what does that do for you?
So personally for me, I think that as some wines age, especially the Chardonnays, they become a little bit more subdued and they aren't as like vibrant on the nose. So for me, there's definitely reasons to do it the other way, but I would taste the old one first, because when you're tasting a vertical of two wines in particular, if you're doing 20, then maybe you change that. But with two, you're going to taste that first Chardonnay. You're going to see all of that kind of subtle development that it's done over the years. It's not going to be kind of clouded by the vibrant fresh one coming up next. Then you're going to taste that second one. And in my opinion, then you're going to kind of go back and see how it develops. You can kind of see both sides, but I think tasting the older one first has a lot of benefits for just kind of your own brain's perception of taste. And
by the way, you are the first to suggest this. I'm going to pour out my
all of the Psalms in Vancouver are going to send in angry notes telling me why I'm wrong.
This is what we're talking about, the 2013 yeah. Quails Gate Okanagan Valley Chardonnay 2013. We have Rowan Stewart, who is the winemaker for the new development series at Quails Gate. Where were you in 2013, Rowan?
I was in New Zealand in 2013.
Did you think at some point I'll learn what I can learn wherever I go, whether it's Napa or Nelson, and then when I get back to the Okanagan, I'll find a place at Quails Gate?
You know, it was, I grew up working on the vineyards here, so it's always been kind of in the back of my mind. I don't know if I thought I'd be back so soon. I definitely thought I'd be away a little bit longer, but as I'm sure for a lot of people, COVID kind of changed my life plans a little bit, I think for the better. But I had planned on traveling some more and then was kind of locked into Canada.
I mean, you know, you've had these conversations, I'm sure, that some of the older wineries that were named after families or are family owned have gone down because the kids didn't want to play the wine game and the grandkids didn't want to play the wine game. And it was, they wanted to have their own life. They've realized that you know, there's baggage that goes with the name Stewart. So you were okay. Did you think twice about this?
Yeah, I definitely had a brief moment where I thought I might do some sort of chemical engineering. And then I kind of realized that, you know, wine has enough chemistry that I, you know, you like chemistry, but you, to be a chemical engineer, you need to love chemistry.
But chemical engineering is so romantic.
Yes. Yeah.
Not. Wine is romantic, man. Come on.
Yeah. You know, at the time I'd been working the vineyard for, and the winery and the restaurant for 10 years. And I was like, I'm going to do something else. But, Once you go away and then you kind of realize what you like, it's like the Okanagan. People here sometimes say, I got to get out of the Okanagan. It's like, why? It's the best.
It's special. It's so damn special. You just, sometimes the workload takes all that special away until you realize it in the quiet times.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. I can't start this incredible 2013 at the end of a segment. I've got to start the next segment with it. So it's a two-segment interview. And we have Rowan Stewart, who is the winemaker for the new development series at Quail's Gate. It's a future, friends, is what we're talking about. When we come back, we're going to taste a Chardonnay from the Okanagan, cellared since 2013. We will try to tell you what it tastes and smells like right after this. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench, one of the originals. They are thrilled to announce that their 2016 Mosaic recently received an outstanding 95 points from the one and only John Schreiner, Dean of Canadian Wine Writers. Mosaic, made with 5 of the 6 varieties allowed in the Bordeaux region of France, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. You can find all the details at hillsidewinery.ca. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards in Osoyoos. Have you ever wanted to join a wine club? This may very well be the one. 5 of their wines were made in small quantities and are available exclusively to wine club members. The Carmenere 2021, an Okanagan Carmenere. Contraband Syrah 2021. 2021 Eclipse, a sparkling Broussin Marsan blend. Petit Verdot 2021 and Tanat 2019. So many perks. You can find all the details at mooncursor.com. He's Rowan Stewart. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We're talking about a 2013 and a 2021 Estate Chardonnay, and a 2015 and a 2020 Stewart Family Reserve Chardonnay. That 2020, by the way, has won lots of gold, lots of awards. By the way, I asked Marchese Piero Antonori when he first realized that he was growing up in a wine family. Now, his story is pretty wild, because his father came running out of the cellars, grabbed his son, brought him back down to the cellars, and the retreating Germans had unloaded all of their machine guns in the tanks, and all the wine was running down the cellar and into the river eventually. And he tried to say to him, "This is your lifeblood. This is what we do. See this? We lost it. We need you." And he basically dedicated himself to his father's tragedy. When did you realize that wine was your lifeblood?
Well, it wasn't quite as exciting of a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for me, it's, the site here is very special. And it's something that this vineyard, the home block, is, I would argue, I'm obviously biased, but one of the best vineyards in Canada, the most interesting terroir. And standing out there pruning after being away working at other wineries and realizing, I'd known it, but learning kind of your trade and then coming back and learning how special this place is really was where it is for me. And I think where it is continuously, sometimes in harvest when things are going wrong and the press is exploding, take a walk out to the vineyards and just look at them, and it all seems worth it.
That is such a gorgeous slope, that Montbouchery, right? Oh my God, it's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. And it drops you, your eye line goes straight down to the lake. You look at the water, you can take it all in one fell swoop. And it's one of the most famous shots in all of the Okanagan. We're talking about aging, vintage changes. We're talking about clonage. We're talking about Chardonnay from Quail's Gate. And they sent me 4. And it's can people come and do this same taste somehow, some way?
Currently. So right now we're doing a program of Chardonnay tasting, or all wine tasting, but it's Chardonnay right now. Right place, right time. And basically we're exploring how our wines are aging, taking you through specifically chosen pairings of an older vintage and a newer vintage chosen by our winemaking team and our sommeliers at the wine shop. And so that tasting is on currently. And I think we're going to keep doing it all summer with different wines. So pretty exciting if you like tasting old wine or if you never have before.
2013, Quail's Gate Chardonnay. I tried to go in not thinking about what to expect. But it was Rhys Pander who always talked about aging BC whites. So 2013, this has had time to round out, to whatever it was initially, it's become a round expression of what it started out to be. It's grown up is what it is in the bottle.
as our Chardonnay ages, I find that all of those lovely fruit flavors that it started out with transitioned into really nice aged fruit characteristics like dried apricots. And for me, it always smells like Christmas spice and things coming through, kind of that kind of mix of spices always reminds me of that. You also get, I think with our Chardonnays, quite a lot of length before it develops those dried fruit characteristics. They stay fresh for a really long time, which is nice. And then they slowly transition.
First of all, the actual discipline that it takes to hold on to a bottle of Chardonnay for 7, 8, 9, 10 years is crazy, because you walk by it every day. You want to, that's what you want to drink on with a great meal. So 2013, are we talking about the same vineyards in the 2020 and 2021 that this came from?
Mostly.
Okay.
About 80% same. One of the biggest differences for the 2020, our new plantings in East Kelowna are starting to come online, and we're seeing some of the first fruit from those sites hit a quality level where they're making it into the Chardonnay.
The 2021, very popular Chardonnay from Quail's Gate. 2021, this will be a quantum leap.
Yeah. So one of the big differences as well, when you look at a wine this far back, is winemaking techniques that have very slowly evolved.
Yes.
Are now, you know, the distinction in 10 years of knowledge is pretty big, and different winemakers at the time. So maybe different palates, different ideas, different pick times, that sort of thing.
Clay, concrete.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So we're using slightly less oak in 2021 than 2013. I think one of the things we've recently done as winemakers is, you know, as a SKU grows, as you sell more of it, sometimes there's a tendency for it to move that needle. You know, you go from 25% to 15% oak influence. And so we've very carefully in the last kind of couple of years made sure that we're staying true to the style on our Chardonnay. So
he's Rowan Stewart. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We're talking about a 2013 and a 2021 Estate Chardonnay, and a 2015 and a 2020 Stewart Family Reserve Chardonnay. I can see what you're doing by going from the 2013 to the 2021, because all of a sudden you realize for the 2021, this can get there. This can get there. It has the nuts and bolts to get to where 2013 is. It just has to be taken care of. This is beautifully made.
Yeah, and they were very similar years. I'd hazard a guess 13 was definitely warmer than 21.
I'm sneaking up on Rowan Stewart, who is the winemaker for New Development. He's the guy that my inquiry to do this beautiful aging clonal taste. We have moved on to the Stewart Family Reserve Chardonnay 2015, starting with the eldest first. The distinction, please, for the wine fan between the Chardonnay we just tasted and the one we're heading into, the Family Reserve.
So the Family Reserve is one of our oldest wines we've been making. We've been doing it since 94, and stylistically compared to the regular Chardonnay, it's a more oak-driven style. So we really think it's a winemaker's wine. It's one of those, we think it's a great example of that Chardonnay that has a perceptible oak influence. In 15, we're using about 25-30% new oak. In 2020, we were sitting about the same, maybe a little higher, maybe 35%. But our oak choices have developed with that wine. We're really trying to balance the oak and the vineyard. We want it to elevate and showcase the terroir of the site while still being a great example of that style. So
that's a beautiful, wine. Gorgeous wine, 2015.
Yes.
That's our favorite.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it, as I was saying, it's 2013. It has a roundness to it, an aged roundness to it. This has that and the expression on the side, straight down the middle. It still has the core of what it is. So it begs a question, Rowan. What's the shelf life of a Chardonnay from the Okanagan, well made?
So for our internal wines, we've got solid wines going back to 2006. Before 2006, we were using cork, and similar to New Zealand, Australia, Canada gets the short stick when it comes to cork. And so you're playing quite a guessing game when you open those wines. Some of them are pretty good still. We've had some 04s, 99s, 95s tasting recently in the last 2 years that are tasting good. Hard to tell, though, with the whole cork development thing. Everything we've tasted from 06 and on is tasting beautiful. So we haven't yet hit our kind of fall-off point. Obviously, for our, you know, estate Chardonnay, going back to 2006, it starts to get tired. You know, you lose even that, those beautiful dried fruit characteristics start to fade, and you're left with a little bit of like heavy acid, and it's not as pleasant.
I love the 2013, but the 2015 absolutely blows my mind. I love it. You like it? You like it as well?
I do. Well, I'm bias, but the Family Reserve Chardonnay is one of my favorite wines that we make. It's always a consistent wine. You know, if I'm going to a tasting with a group of winemakers that don't know Canadian wine, this is a great wine to bring. I love bringing it because it's, you know, super classic example, well-managed, well-made, just really showcases our kind of ability to make wine in Canada. One of the things I really like about our Chardonnay is we do a full malolactic that's natural mallow, so we don't inoculate it. And I think our kind of building mallow gives a really unique butterscotch instead of so much popcorn butter flavor. And you can kind of see that trend through the years, and it makes it really easy to pick it out of any tasting.
Here you go, Rowan. Here's your last one.
Yeah.
This is my double gold at the Global Fine Wine Challenge 2022. And gold at the Wine Lion National Wine Awards of 2022. We like this one a lot. How does it stand up to the 2015? What do you think?
I really like the 2020. I think that the 15 is showing beautifully. That age has really given it a lot of interesting characteristics. I feel like the 2020 might even show a little better in 5 years than the 15.
Oh, yeah.
15 was a great year. By all accounts, 13, 14, 15 were like a string of the best vintages the Okanagan had seen. With Chardonnay, I think in our site in particular, there's a little bit of extra heat on the 15 that the 20 doesn't have. And I think that it'll age through just a touch more gracefully, which will be really nice.
I think it's going to do well. First of all, it starts strongly. It's just it's just literally announcing itself. It's fantastic. In 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, it'll be unbelievable. Again, you have to have the discipline. Tell for the wine fan again the difference between a Hawke's Bay Chardonnay and an Okanagan Valley Chardonnay, say Quail's Gate, because Hawke's Bay thinks they're the jam. They think they are the spot.
Oh, they are not even close to the best Chardonnay in New Zealand. Sorry, Hawke's Bay. Cumiu River is definitely the best in New Zealand. But for the Okanagan, the biggest defining thing, I think, for our terroir as a valley. Of course, you know, you've been to the Okanagan in the south, very warm, almost desert. Like as you get north, a little bit cooler, still warm. We have quite a lot of variation up and down the valley in temperature, but our latitude is what really changes that. If you look at how far north we are, the vine ripening, I think, is really influenced by that, you know, 14, 16 hour day when it's getting dark at 10:30 in July. There's so much extra sunlight that the vine can use to ripen.
Yeah.
And so you see this huge progression of sunlight-influenced ripening and then heat-influenced ripening, which is usually where your acid is dropping off, you know, that sort of thing. It's delayed almost because it's not as hot as long because we have that kind of very short growing season. So that really defines our wines in comparison to, say, Hawke's Bay.
Did your friends, thank you, did your friends in marketing tell you the price points on these bottles?
Ooh, they did not.
Never mind. There's no guess. We can't guess. However, you are on record, Rowan Stewart.
Yes.
As saying that your favorite Quail's Gate and the best wine made by Quail's Gate is Rosemary's Block Chardonnay, which we haven't talked about here. Why that one?
I think the Rosemary's Block is, for the entire winemaking team, it's our most, maybe not favorite, but we love that wine a lot. It's an expression of the site. So it's the same It's the same vineyard as the Stewart Family Reserve, but we take it in a very elegant direction. The Stewart Family Reserve is intentionally a little bit bigger, a little bit more, in your face, a little bit more oak, still restrained, but it's an oak driven style. And for the Rosemarys, we kind of tame that a little bit. It has a little bit of 809 clone in it, which is a Muscat clone. So it pops the fruit on the nose, and we go around and around the table describing it, but the word that always comes back is elegance, and it's an elegant wine that we're all very proud of.
Well, and so you should be. He is the winemaker for new developments at Quailsgate. His name is Rowan Stewart. As new development, can I suggest maybe a Gamay project?
We might have something very interesting for you then in a couple of years. So we've been working on a couple new varietals. There's a Swiss varietal, kind of a red counterpoint to our Chasselas, called Gamay. And we've been experimenting with putting that and Gamay together into a very unique blend that hopefully we'll see the light of day.
Thank you for this. Appreciate it very much. Have a great summer and a great growing season. And
an astonishing
harvest, all right? And thank you for this pour.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Did they tell you your website?
So Quailsgate.com.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards in Osoyoos. Have you ever wanted to join a wine club? This may very well be the one. Five of their wines were made in small quantities and are available exclusively to wine club members. The Carmenere 2021, an Okanagan Carmenere. Contraband Syrah 2021. 2021 Eclipse, a sparkling Broussin Marsan blend. Petit Verdot 2021 and Tenat 2019. So many perks. You can find all the details at mooncursor.com.